Number five is mentioned the five aggregates of form and mind are empty because they are impermanent. Then, like I explained just now, the reason being, the Buddha said the five aggregates of form and mind are empty, impermanent, is because in the final summary, he summarized all of suffering, which is dukkha, as sakkāditti, that conditioned living beings to grasp at the five aggregates of form and mind. Because the aggregates due to self-delusion, sakkāditti, are grasping. That's why he called it the upadana khandhas. Upadana is grasping. Khandhas is aggregate. The upadana khandhas, condition, suffering. So that final summary leads us to the understanding that this is very important. I should develop this understanding. If I cannot develop this understanding, I cannot live life. I cannot continue with the cultivation. I cannot develop the understanding of what the Buddha is trying to teach us. So now I will go into detail of that number five teachings. See, the emphasis is on these five aggregates of form and mind. These five aggregates of form and mind is very important. Form and mind. Or in Pali, the Buddha called it namarupa, namarupa. You attach and cling and grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind, you suffer. And people who do this are deluded. They have delusion, sakkāditti, self-delusion. So how are we going to develop this understanding? And I have to unwind this. Make it longer. Okay. So that we can investigate into what the Buddha said to confirm that what he says is true. So this five aggregate of form and mind, if you are a cultivator, you are a meditator, you will come to know there are two aspects to it. Because unless I understand what this five of form and mind is, I cannot put it to test. I cannot investigate. But when I understand, then I can, with mindfulness, with awareness, I can investigate. So the first aspect the Buddha said, this five aggregate of form and mind is what we are within the conditional. This is a karmically conditioned five aggregates of form and mind. So first aspect for our case is a human being. Or for others is the living being. So as a human being, we know we have a physical body and we have a consciousness trapped inside. So the human being, which is the physical, body. This is the form, or what the Buddha called rupa, aggregate. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside. So this consciousness which is trapped inside, the Buddha subdivide into four more aggregates. So this physical body, which is rupa, is the first aggregate. So this one is the first aggregate. Then this one is the second aggregate. So to understand the second, third, fourth, and fifth aggregate, we have to meditate to find out. We have to realize what this is. Not just blindly accept what the Buddha said as knowledge. So how do we start? We need to inquire as a human being. Who are we? What are we? How do we know the world? How do we interact with the world? So when you start to inquire, you start to develop this understanding. What can my mind do? So this one is trauma idea. So the inquiry is, what can my mind do? So this inquiry is very important. Inquiry. In the teaching, the Buddha said, we have this ability to feel, isn't it? True or not? Your mind can feel. So feeling is vedana. The vedana is the pali term. Then what else can your mind do? Your mind can? Huh? What else can your mind do? Apart from feeling? Ah, perceive. Okay. So perception or perceive. In Pali is called what? Huh? Sanya. Very good. So it can perceive. Like my voice, you can perceive it. What you see, you can perceive. The external form, the external whatever color, shape, and form, or external appearances, physical things, you can perceive it. Smell, you can perceive what you smell, what you taste, what you feel, and think. So this is the power of mind. To perceive, to feel, is to. Then what else can your mind do? Every day you do it. You can create sankhara activity then. So this sankhara activity or the third aggregate of form and mind, actually, the English word, you have to use a lot of word to develop the understanding. Yeah. But you silence your mind away inside, all this understanding will arise. That's why you don't have to follow the text. What the text say is more of theoretical Dhamma knowledge from commentaries, from people who write. But they try to stick to popularly accepted type of teachings. They dare not go out of it or deviate from it. And sometimes the funny thing is, the Buddha used this word sankhara. They choose the English word or translation that they like and they put it inside. Especially the dwelling, Patijasamuppada, Avijapacaya Sankara, and most of them put their karmic formation as if Sankara is just that. No. So Sankara actually is everything that your mind can do is Sankara. So thinking is Sankara. So this one, normally they call it mental activity. Mental activity. Then what else? Mental intention. Mental formation. What else? Yeah. What else can your mind do? Yeah. It can arise mental states. Yeah. Mental states are all your mental emotions, good and bad. Yeah. Then what else? Your mental intention. Intention. Yeah. Then these are what the books actually writes. They try to define. Actually, all this you put together, it doesn't completely explain to you what Sankara is. Actually, Sankara is everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception. This is called the content of consciousness. That's why these three, they become the content of consciousness, or everything your mind can do. Apart from this, Sankara also means your planning, scheming, your mental proliferation, mental proliferation, yeah. Chattering, and verbalization, etc.
Brother Theo, some translation they put Sankara as choices.
Who put?
I can't remember the translator's name. Some they put choices.
Oh, okay. You see, it depends on your understanding. The Sankara activity, actually, they don't know how it functions inside them. You think they make choices, and there is a word called choice. Do you know what Jay Krishnamurti teach? Wherever there is choice, there is confusion. You understand that one, Amy?
Yeah. When I see the translation as choices, then the confusion comes in because there are choices, too much choice.
Very good. The question is, like the Buddha said, why must you choose? Who choose? The thought choose. Due to delusion, you have to make a choice. For me or not for me. Why? Because they are caught in duality, in their views, opinion, and conditioning. Whatever created by thought will lead to confusion before you have the wisdom and the enlightenment awakening. So they create all these words without understanding. Like here, thinking, they thought there is a thinker behind the thought. Who think? What think? Nobody think. Thought is respond to memory because we have a brain. The baby, when they are born, when their brain is empty or without much accumulated conditioning or belief system or memories, there is no thought. The baby got no thought. The baby is very naive, very cute, very innocent. Oh, just like that. Not cunning, nothing. In fact, cunningness is also part of it. Your mental activity covers all the thinking and all the things. Even your choice you can put under here. But that is for deluded human being. When you are deluded, you make choice. When you are deluded, you're daydreaming, planning, scheming. You can put daydreaming and all the things. That's why I put etc. When you hallucinate, you daydream, and you become unconscious. Or subconscious, when you are drunk, your consciousness becomes very funny. And the content of consciousness that one went in is deluded. That's why all this appear. Okay? Can follow, huh? Okay, then I move on. Huh? Otherwise, we cannot finish again. Okay, number five. The fourth aggregate of mind. What else can your mind do? It can become conscious of thing, isn't it? That's why the last one is jnana, or consciousness. As a human being, we can become conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we tactile, we feel and think. So consciousness is one of the ability of the mind. That's why the Buddha subdivide them into these four more aggregates. So this 4 plus 1 become 5. Okay? So this 5 aggregate, the Buddha said, is who you are, what you are. So this one, the whole thing is the human being, which is the first aspect. Okay? So human being, the first aspect. Second aspect is what? This one, the Buddha is more interested in the second aspect. Second aspect is actually the mind, the thought. So this second aspect, as we know, inside the consciousness, we know there are four aggregates of feeling, perception, sankhara, vijnana, or vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana. So this whole thing, the second aspect, is the thought. And what is thought? Thought equals to the pure consciousness plus its content plus its content. So this consciousness, which is vijnana, the pure consciousness. That's why the Buddha said in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness initially, no one to see. So this is the third link. Paticca Samuppada or the dependent orientation say the first two links is avijja paccaya sankhara. And what is sankhara? Mental activity, mental thinking, and all these things. Because the first link is ignorant, avijja, because you don't understand, ignorant of the truth, the four noble truth, especially the three right view. When you don't have the understanding what you do, you go and think. That's why this sankhara is thinking activity, mental activity. When you think, you go to the brain, you recall to memory and all this thing. So what happens is at the brain, like a physics experiment, you make contact. A physics experiment. So this one is the switch. You make contact. What happens? Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. So this lighting up is like you become conscious. So when it is at the brain, you become conscious of what? Conscious of thought activity. Understand? That's why this third link is before the content go in. Once the content go in, it become a thought. Before the content go in is the pure vijnana, consciousness or vijnana. When it is the vijnana, means like the Buddha say, in the seeing, there is only that consciousness, the seeing consciousness. In the hearing, it's only the hearing consciousness. No one to see, no one to hear. It's that thing. Natural law, just like God. That mind develop the consciousness. That's why when he taught those monks, the pure seeing, the direct seeing, he is referring to this vijnana, the pure consciousness. This is the direct seeing, the silent mind. Awareness before the knowing. So this one, before the content go in, that's why there is no knowing, no perception, nothing, no views, no opinion, no condition, conditioning. The moment you input the content, that's why the fourth link start. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana is this pure vijnana or pure consciousness. Then you input the content of consciousness, this one becomes namarupa. Five mental aggregates of form and mind. This is how it happened. Not over the three period of time. Okay? So these five mental aggregates of form and mind, you have to ask yourself, the mind has only four aggregates. How did the form enter the mind? It enters the mind through the aggregate of sanya. Of perception. Take for example, put to test. When you hear my voice, how did my sense data or this vibration enters your mind? Through your hearing consciousness, yeah, the content went in. So that's how it happened. Perception brings the external form into your mind. Easier example is the Kuan Yin image or the Buddha Rupang up there. How do you know this external form? You perceive it, yeah? 2-1. Sanya aggregate. When you perceive it, you recall to memory, then it arises within the mind. Understand? This is called mental form. So this form under the second aspect is the mental form. Here I put two aspects. Huh? This one is physical form, okay? First aspect. The second aspect is the mental form. Mental form, where do I write it? So here, form equals mental form. So this one goes in. So the form is mental form. So this one goes in via the sanya aggregate, perception. Okay? So this second aspect, the form is mental form. It enters your mind through every moment of consciousness via the sanya aggregate. So the mental form plus the four aggregate of mind become the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is what the Buddha is interested in. That's why the dwelling can easily be explained like that Thursday class sharing. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana is a pure consciousness. Yeah, you make contact with the brain like a physics experiment. You become conscious of it, it lights up. Upon lighting up, through your views, opinion, and conditioning, your brain, you input the content. That's why light and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant, wholesome, unwholesome. You are not enlightened yet. You don't have yoniso manasikara. That's why you act according to memory, which is not acting at all. But you got no choice. Before you have the teaching, the Dhamma, the understanding, you will act according to memory. In fact, a lot of cultivators, even so-called monks or whatever, they also, most of the time, acting according to memory. But they memorize the sutta. They memorize a lot of things. They commit to memory. Then, as you all know, science is so advanced. If somebody has accident, brain damage, the memory gone, their personality, their character, everything also gone. Sometimes they forgot who they are, their entity also erased. So in fact, before you are enlightened, before you understand all this, you are just a bundle of memories with its conditioning, belief system, views, opinion, and everything that memory carries, you become what it is. That's why you can actually become different when you straighten your view, develop new understanding. Then that conditioning breaks down. Meditation is to see this, understand all this, and awaken, and break down all the wrong view, wrong understanding, and straighten your view so that you have this right view, right understanding to awaken. We call that yoniso manasikara, wisdom, born of contemplative wisdom and the direct seeing, the second turning and third turning wisdom, including the first turning if you have your past. So sutamaya panya, chintamaya panya, and finally, bhavanamaya panya. These are the wisdom that can arise. Okay, so this five aggregate of form and mind, clear, huh? Now we put the test. If I attach to this first aspect, the physical body, do I suffer? It's obvious, isn't it? The Buddha say the five daily contemplation, reflect, contemplate, and don't be deluded by it. Because this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For he has not gone beyond always sickness and death. Why? Because these are elements, goes the way of nature. Non-self, not you. Not a permanent unchanging entity that you say, this is me, this is I, self. If it's self, then you can control. You can have control. You can tell it not to grow old, not to get sick, and not to die. But it won't listen to you. It ages without listening to you. It gets sick without listening to you. Everything is following nature's law, goes the way of nature, dependent, originating. So when you understand this, you are not deceived, not deluded. Otherwise, if you attach and think this body, physical body, is you, you will worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. That's why a lot of people can become very, very severely tormented when they age, when they develop injury, disease, sickness. They suffer. Then finally, the fear of death, the most traumatic, death of a loved one, fear of succumbing to the disease or the sickness. Then all of the mental and physical suffering that follow this first aspect, five aggregate of four memory, is obvious. When we deludedly attach to feeling, we believe feeling is permanent. Feeling is what we are. But we did not come to this understanding that feeling come and go. When feeling come and go, you didn't die. So how can feeling be you? And when you attach to feeling, you have problem. When you develop painful feeling, uncomfortable feeling, miserable feeling, like your sorrow, lamentation, jealousy, envy, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety. What happened when they arise? Because you think this is you. You want to push it away. That's why you suffer. Because why? You cling on to feeling. You grasp on to feeling. Feeling is actually pure feeling. You don't need to create a craving to make you miserable. But when you attach, you become craving. What do you crave? Crave for good feeling. When the feeling is not good or unpleasant, you become miserable, unhappy, you suffer. You want to push it away. That's like craving for existence. Craving to be and not to be. The three types of craving. Sensual craving, kama tanha, bhava tanha, and vibhava tanha. So any of these three you crave, you suffer. Then perception to everything you come to perceive, if you attach and cling, like the beautiful form, the beautiful wives or husband or whatever, or handsome, or things that you hold on to dearly. That's why the fourth daily contemplation is whatever you believe you own or you possess, like your loved one, your prized possession, your wife, or your wealth, your property, things that you hold on to dearly, like your reputation, your title, and all those things, even your beautiful house, or anything that you believe you own. Because the reality is separation will happen. When conditions cease to be, they will cease from you. Or when you press stop, you don't own anything. So if you attach and cling and believe you own, you suffer when you lose them. When conditions cease to be, like the first number two reality, separation can happen. Separation from loved one, price possession, from whatever you hold on to dearly, cling on to dearly. So these are reality. So Sankara is the same. You cling on to your ideology, your thinking. So this one you can put in ideology, huh? Ideas. Ideas. Ideology, etc. You suffer. You hold on to your belief system. You suffer. You create division. You create conflict, misunderstanding, argument. Consciousness of saying, when you become conscious of something, you attach, you want it repeated. But because it's dependent, originating, condition no more is gone. Even beautiful painting, beautiful house, beautiful places. When pollution set in, when human activity become very aggressive, when war breaks in, it's gone. You attach claim and you want it repeated. It can't, no more, it's gone. So all these five aggregate, the moment you hold, you cling, you suffer. So this perception also, we went through it. So the second aspect also same. When you cling to the thought, which are your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and your mental activity and emotion, everything, you suffer. So the Buddha's final summary is so clear, so beautiful. When you understand, you wake up. You awaken. To realize this, listening to theory alone is not enough. It will help give you some intellectual understanding, like learning the teaching, pariyatti, but it is not penetrative. It is knowledge level. Unless you have your path, upon hearing, you awaken. But very few. Maybe this asana still have. Like when I come, my nature, when I hear truth, I awaken. I don't need that person to teach me or tell me anything. I hear truth, I awaken. Unless you have that. Otherwise, you have to reflect, contemplate, second turning, inquire. Then silence your mind to develop the awareness-based meditation, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the third turning, which is very penetrative. So when it comes to understanding all this, we don't commit to memory. Oh, this is what Buddha said. This is what Brother Theo explained. Oh, commit to memory. No use. Why did I advise you that? Because I went through myself. I know I don't need to remember anything. I can teach then that. Why? Because this thing is inside my nature. When I realize it, I aware of it. I investigated all this. Nobody taught me. This is not in the teaching. The words are in the teaching. But what I have explained are not in the teaching. So what you have to do is you check. As a human being, first aspect, who am I? What am I? I have a physical body. I cannot deny. Okay? So this one, feel it. The awareness, aware, feel it. Then you will know. This is not a concept, not an idea, not somebody tell you. Where you feel it, you have a body. And this body can do certain things, which you also know, because you're aware, you're mindful of what it is capable of doing. Then there is a consciousness track inside. You can check, aware, whether there is a mundane mind. Consciousness that is responsible for the arising of thinking, mundane thinking, the emotion, all this described under the content of consciousness. Is it true? You silence your mind when feeling arise. Feel it without the words, understand not. Then aware and find out when the craving come in, your light and dislike. How does it arise? From where? Behind the arising, what is the one? We always use theory, your wrong view, your sakayadity, your self-delusion, all the same. If you just study as knowledge and commit, you cannot remember. You cannot understand it. But when you feel it, you really feel it, then that feeling, or no need to use word. You can describe it yourself. If people use the wrong word, you also know. If they don't understand, they use word without understanding. But because you saw it happening, that's why I dare to tell you, it's everything your mind can do, sankhara, including feeling and perception. And this one is like the receptacle, the vijnana, the pure consciousness. That is when our mind, which is the true mind, the silent mind, you know what that mind is or not? Spacious awareness. It's just aware. The awareness nature is just aware, nothing. So your mind is actually the oneness, spacious awareness. But you do not know. You every time use the thought. So how does thought come to be? Ask yourself. When you perceive something, thought arises. How did it happen? That's why in the awareness, when I silent, I saw how my eye zooming the perception. Yeah, I want to know. So the awareness create the perception. And the perception with the views, opinion, and the conditioning from the brain, belief system, all input the content. So this is how you create thought. So this thought become limited. Why? Because from spacious awareness, you shrink it. Spacious awareness, you shrink it into a thought. That's why thought is limited. Thought is limited. Why? Because from spacious awareness, you shrink it. How to spell shrink? R-I-N-K. You shrink it to become a thought. That's why thought become limited, because your whole focus is at that rupa. Understand? Like hearing consciousness, your whole focus is my vibration here. That's why from spacious awareness, you lost your nature and trapped in the thought. That's why this is limited. That's why thought, the instrument is limited. It cannot realize the truth that the spacious awareness saw, insight into, awakened to. Now you understand, we are thought has all this rubbish. When you carry all this, in fact, here the mental states include your fear, phobia, etc. How to put it? Fear, phobia, insecurity, etc. They are all part of mental states. Understand? All of our fear, phobia, insecurity, even scars of memory, they are all sankara. So this one, come down here. So these mental states cover all this. Now you understand. I hope by now more and more people can understand this. Okay? So if you understand this, then you will understand the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. Remember, silence your mind aware to develop all this understanding, to be aware of all this. Aware of the physical, aware of mental form, aware of feeling, aware of perception. How perception arises. Not through idea or concept people tell you. No point. Find out yourself when you are in the awareness, when you are completely silent without thought. How you perceive. That's at the moment of sense experience, when the perception happens. To do that, you must have daily mindfulness, very stable. Unless you have that, you cannot see. That's why when I went through the cultivation, my daily mindfulness was so stable, so sharp. I can be at the moment of feeling. It cannot move to craving. Moment of thought, process, sankara activity. That's why I saw the movement. I saw the link. Then I can be even at the moment I perceive something, the mundane mind, perceive through memory. That's why I can explain all this to you. And I don't have to remember. Then when I become conscious of seeing, that pure seeing, the pure consciousness before the content, when it, my mind can be there, the awareness can be there. That's why it's very different. If you don't cultivate that way, the understanding cannot go in. Okay? So this is the most important first aspect.